Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Today on The Dark Side of Wikipedia, R. Kelly is convicted on all counts after decades of accusations of abuse. Also, R. Kelly accuser Azriel Clary says she was manipulated and coached before the 2019 Gayle King interview. Also, Bill Cosby weighs in on R. Kelly in only a way Bill Cosby could.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of.
That it is, and here we are, and hopefully the last R. Kelly episode for a while. I mean, I guess we'll probably do one when sentencing comes up, but we are here, and this is just a few days after the conviction of R. Kelly in all counts after these decades of accusations of abuse. We're going to go into the stories today, the New York Times reportings, and we're also going to take a look at some stuff from NBC. And I think the New York Post, where Bill Cosby, of all people, decides to weigh in on R. Kelly in only a way Bill Cosby could. If you like our program, keep us on the air. Become a Dark Sider. That's where you can get advanced episodes of the show, ad-free episodes of the show, our full archive, even the stuff that's fallen off of iTunes. It's all there. Exclusive content as well. Just go to patreon.com and search for Dark Side Of, or go to darksidepod.com. That'll take you to the page as well. $5 a month keeps us on the air, and you get all those extras. So please do check that out if you like our program. It's Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the show. This has been going on for so long. It's, you know, it almost feels like we've been here before. But no, this is the first time we're literally turning a corner on an R. Kelly story.
I was actually a little concerned about the verdict because I thought it took him a little longer than I thought it would. And so sometimes when it's taking him longer, obviously there's somebody's going, you know, a holdout or something. And so I thought maybe they were going to find him not guilty.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of surprised.
You thought that, I don't know, this one I felt pretty good on. The other ones I thought they're going to find some way to weasel out of this. This, it was just like, and for our next event, it was just like every single person that came in and testified on this thing. It was like a three-ring circus, but it was
That's why I thought the verdict would come back quickly.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
It didn't come back as quickly as I thought it would.
Yeah.
It was relatively fast.
Yeah.
But
I mean, and then the defense was like so weak.
The defense was like, oh, we're supposed to say something here about that.
They found him innocent all those other times, guys. And that was a really grainy video, but we're not talking about the video right now, sir. Well, it was, you know, he's R. Kelly. Step in the name of love. Come on. Bump and grind, everybody. We all love that. We can't let him go to jail forever. No, we can. We're done with this. So
my guess is, well, depending, you know, there's going to be an appeal or 10. Because, you know, this stuff can drag out forever.
Yeah.
But hopefully, you know, he'll be sentenced and there'll be an appeal. But hopefully, I don't know. I like to think it's behind, you know, these women can move past. But I don't know. Can you?
I wonder if he's going to try to release music from jail. Like, can you? I mean, is there a way to do that? Is there a way that you could?
There was a rapper who did do that, and he put out an album that was wildly successful. And now I wish I could remember who it was.
Did he record it?
I heard about him on NPR, but it was like, it was really an interesting story how he recorded. And it sounded like, you know, kind of shitty recorded lyrics, but it actually was kind of cool the way they produced it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he did it over the phone.
Okay.
And it cost a shit ton of money.
Collect calls.
Yeah. But it ended up being this really brilliantly great CD.
That's where I wonder if an artist or somebody wanted to, I mean, could you, like, in a visiting time, could someone bring in a recorder and, like, just a, you know, handheld Zoom or something, and then allow him to record if that's what he wanted to do? Or is your only option the phone? I mean, a Zoom, anything could be used as a weapon, I guess. So you're probably kind of limited on what they can have in there. But you can have, like, can you have, like, a radio? And I don't know. I'm only thinking, like, what I see on TV. Can you have, like, a radio in your cell? Can you have things like that?
I think so.
Well, then I would think you could have, like,
it depends on your level of...
Okay. Incarceration. Okay.
And that's not the terms they use, but I think you get, you know, you're allowed things for good behavior and taken, you know, it's kind of like when you're five.
Yeah.
You know, they take your favorite stuff away and you earn it back.
Well, I wonder what the flavor of his, if he does new albums from jail, like what it's the themes are going to be. Because it's always very, very sexual. So is this going to take like a weird turn for like jail sex? On his next album, or is it just going to be like, I'm sorry, or is it going to be, I got screwed over? I just don't see this guy, like, stopping trying to make music, because even through this, he made music. I think there's the level of narcissism with this person that he's going to think that there's still, you know, an audience, and there is an audience. It's that more, but it's not like we love you, R. Kelly. It's like we're morbidly curious. What the fuck are you going to say, audience?
I think there was a lot of the "We love you, R. Kelly's" out in front of the courthouse.
Really?
I think there's a lot of people who, because I've heard like some of the people who testified getting death threats from these people.
Yeah. I know there's going to be that, but I mean, is it to the level of like might? I mean, you got to scale it, but. Michael Jackson, because I mean, he, you know, to this day still at many think there's absolutely nothing, you know, wrong with anything. And, you know, he's kind of slipped through the cracks 50,000 times. You know, is there that level of passion, though, for him? With Michael, you could almost say, you know, maybe 60-40% of the population believe Michael was innocent or guilty. It was fairly split to a certain degree. With R. Kelly, I don't know. My guesstimate would be more like 80-20, 80-10, 90-10. Guilty? Yeah. I don't know. But the 10-20 is still a pretty good number of people. But
it's really hard when those women start talking, you know, and telling similar yet not the exact same story.
Yeah.
And you hear those stories, and especially when you see that documentary they did on it, it was powerful.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want to get up there and say that you did those things.
Sure.
I mean, that makes you look really bad. And the fact that someone could manipulate you to that extent.
Do you think he's
going to... I mean, it doesn't make anybody look good.
No.
You wouldn't be proud of that.
No.
That's hard to get up there and admit to that.
Do you think any, you think he'll be getting a, you know, how it's crazy. There's serial killers and such can get mail and can find love and get married in prison.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, he's going to have, like, it's going to be a rotating door of women coming to visit him, I would guess, when he has visiting time. I imagine, I don't know. I mean, I think.
Oh, my God, yeah.
This is, I mean, I don't know. This is just. I think there's a lot more crazy to come here. I don't know that the story is over of just how fucked up this gets.
Seriously, like, there are men who have committed horrific serial murders.
Yeah.
And they've got women who want to marry him.
Exactly.
Why?
Yeah.
Like, even if you are the type of woman who's like, I could fix him, why would you care? Like,
I don't know.
Why would you want anything to do with somebody like that?
I don't know.
And then you add in R. Kelly's fame on top of it.
Yeah.
Man, he's going to, yeah.
Well, read some of the story here. This one's from the New York Times. R. Kelly, the manipulation R&B artist, whose musical legacy became intertwined with dozens of accusations of sexual abuse, was found guilty on Monday of serving as the ringleader of a decades-long scheme to recruit women and underage girls for sex. The jury in New York deliberated for about 9 hours before convicting the singer of all 9 counts against him, including racketeering and 8 violations of an anti-sex trafficking law known as the Mann Act. The decision represents the first criminal punishment against Mr. Kelly, despite a trail of allegations of misconduct that extends for more than a quarter century. His 6-week trial exposed a harrowing system of trauma and abuse commanded by the singer and enabled by his associates. Mr. Kelly, 54, one of the biggest names in popular music, now faces a possibility of life in prison, capping a remarkable reversal of fortune. As the verdict was read, he sat motionless in the courtroom wearing a navy blue suit and glasses with his facial expression hidden behind a mask. To many observers, Mr. Kelly's case represented a critical test of the inclusivity of the Me Too movement, which seeks to hold influential and powerful men accountable for sexual misbehavior. Never before in high-profile Me Too era trial had the large majority of accusers been black women. Jacqueline M. Kalis, the acting U.S. attorney in Brooklyn, told reporters that the verdict sent a powerful message to men like Mr. Kelly. She thanked the 11 men and women who accused him of misconduct at the trial. No one deserves what they experienced at the hands or the threats and the harassment they faced in telling the truth about what happened to them. We hope that today's verdict brings some measure of comfort and closure. As he left the courtroom on Monday, one of Mr. Kelly's lawyers said his defense team would consider an appeal. Of course, we are disappointed by the verdict, the lawyer, Devereaux L. Kanick, said as he walked through the courthouse. I am even more disappointed in the prosecution for bringing this case, he said, adding it was replete with inconsistencies. So there you go. That's a look at how, you know, everything kind of flew downhill for the I Believe I Can Fly singer.
Well, not too much. In the inconsistency department, if he was found guilty.
Yeah.
On what? All counts, basically? I mean.
Yes, all counts.
So I think that's interesting when your client has been found guilty on all counts, and then you accuse the prosecution of putting on a bad case. Maybe you did.
It's not me, it's you.
It's like, yeah, well, yeah, they totally found him guilty, but it's not my fault.
Yeah. I mean, when you...
The other guys did a bad job.
No,
they did a good job. They did their job, actually.
I didn't have any doubt that he'd get found guilty on this one. I didn't. It wasn't like a one individual thing, which unfortunately a lot of times ends up the way that they do. And it ends up being a mistrial or they're found innocent. But... This was just like every day. Prosecution ended up calling 45 witnesses during the trial over this thing. And every single one was like, oh, my God. Like, just when you thought it was like.
They were powerful.
It's like, oh, they did it missionary. Okay, well, that sounds kind of normal. And then it's like, oh, then they did it. Okay.
And then they did it. There was a lion in the room. What the fuck? And then it's like, and then he came in on a with fog machines, and he came in on some sort of giant thing that like flew him into the air, and then his dick was in her mouth immediately, and then they did twirls, and then there was fires in the room, and then it all went out, and it's like, was that, it's on a fucking video too. It's like, yeah, holy shit. And just, you think like, that's the end. Then the next day, it's like, and then there were goats involved. Oh my God. What the fuck?
You know, somebody's like, gonna hear this and go, so R. Kelly did it with goats.
No, and he didn't. That part, that's satire. There was no goats involved. I don't think there was fire or anything that projected R. Kelly where he landed in someone's mouth. Although I'm sure that ended up happening somewhere, but I don't think there was projectiles or any pyrotechnics involved. But you never know. I mean, there's still another trial to be had, and we don't want to, you know, you don't want to like.
And will there be another trial if? So
I don't know.
So he'll go to sentencing. Then yep. I'm sure they're already working on an appeal.
Yeah,
it's kind of how it works. But in the meantime, do the other trials go forward, or do we know?
I do not know yet. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how that all technically works, but I know that in some other trials, when someone's convicted in one jurisdiction and the, you know, the crime is just, you know, the sentencing is just so severe, the other districts say, we're not going to waste, you know, millions of dollars in public money to find him guilty here too, where he'll never see our jail cell because he's, you know, fucking there. But I said that the other day too. And my only concern with that is if he, for some reason, because it's happened before, he gets off on a technicality, like say Bill Cosby, and then the other districts have already closed the cases. Can the other districts reopen them to try and get him that way? You know, or
I don't know.
Or is it like, you know, you've already been tried, and I think you could do it again. I don't know if they would. I don't know. I don't know.
Nancy Grace would know. Dang.
Where's Nancy when you need her?
Grace when we need her.
Nancy, that bitch. Is she still on? Is she on anything?
I saw her in Dr. Field just the other day.
Oh, okay. She does not. But she doesn't have the Nancy Grace show anymore, does she?
She does a podcast.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes more sense for her.
Mm-hmm.
She probably gets more listeners. She probably has a much larger audience on a podcast than she ever had on HLN. In all reality, because I mean, the numbers that HLN pulls versus what a podcast can pull are not comparable. So
yeah,
it's probably working.
But
out
I think
well
she
for
still
it.
Likes to be on TV.
Yeah, I bet she does. Let's look over here at another story related to this, the Azriel Clary story. She was manipulated, coached before the 2019 Gayle King interview. Is what she's speaking out on. Now, we all remember this interview. You remember the interview?
The one that got super awkward.
Yeah, where R stood up and was like, yeah. I'm fighting for my life here.
And then Gayle just sat there. She's very calm.
Like,
Robert.
No!
Sit down.
Is it a camera? No, Robert, that's a fern. Is that a camera over there? No, that's a picture of a boat. Okay, Robert. Damn it! That's kind of how it went.
Yeah, it was very awkward. And I thought that Gayle King, I don't know that I always love her as an interviewer. Sometimes I do.
Mm-hmm.
That one, though, when an interview goes that far off the tracks,
mm-hmm.
as that one did, I thought she did a good job of holding it together.
Oh, she just was sitting there going, this is going to be one of the most viewed videos of the year.
And she's like, I just got to sit here and be calm, Robert. Yep. Robert.
You know, at that moment, she's like, this is television fucking gold.
And but she did a good job.
Yeah. She didn't do too much to calm him down, but she did enough to act like she was concerned. She was it's like, you keep going, keep going. If I were like the GMA producer, when his, helper or whoever was with him kind of went over to his PR guy to try and calm him down, I'd be like, no, get him out of here. Get the PR guy out of here.
We don't want him in there.
Let him go. Just let him do his thing. R, you speak from the heart. You give it to us. If I could have gotten a song out of it, too. I mean, there was really a lot of possibilities there. Well, R. Kelly accuser Azriel Clary said that the singer manipulated and threatened her and coached her on how to act in an emotional interview Thursday with CBS Mornings. Clary, 23, was one of the women who lived with Kelly at his home in Chicago. She testified against him in the high-profile sex trafficking trial in New York, which ended this week with Kelly's conviction on charges of racketeering and violating the Mann Act, which bars transporting people across state lines for any immoral purpose. Kelly, 54, whose real name is Robert Sylvester Kelly, pled not guilty to all charges. He's been in the custody now for much of the time since he was charged in 2019 and faces decades in prison when sentenced on, you ready for this? This is going to be a little ways out, kids. May 4th.
Oh, wow.
So we'll be getting ready for summertime. The garden will be going again by the time we get to do another show on R. Kelly. Unless something happens between now and then. He also faces charges in Illinois and Minnesota still. It says, I was lost and I felt invisible and I gave someone that control over me to basically make me do whatever it was they wanted me to do and the act however they wanted me to act, Clary told co-host Gail King in her first interview since the trial. Clary described how Kelly would manipulate her and other women and threaten to throw them around this entire room if he found out that they had tried to discuss any attempt to escape. She said Kelly coached her and another woman, Joycelyn Savage, on what to say before the interview with King in 2019, which made national headlines when Kelly got out of his seat and forcefully denied allegations of sexual abuse. I didn't do this stuff, he said in the interview. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life. I'm getting better at that, aren't I? You know? A little bit.
Listen, it wasn't bad.
I got to like stand up and do it, I think, to really and like throw my arm in the air. Clary said that before she and Savage sat down with King for the interview, Kelly came in and told us to be angry and upset, adding, so we came in angry. And I was scared because I was like, I don't want the world to see me this way. You know, I'm loving, I'm caring, I'm compassionate. I'm not one that got to see that side of me. Before the interview, he had us practicing every single day, she said. If he didn't like our answer, he would tell us exactly what to say and how to say it. So anytime you mention anything about sexual preference, we already know what to say. I'm not here to talk about that because that's what he told us to say every single time. Clary told King she wasn't honest about having anything said in the 2019 interview. Savage and her representatives couldn't be reached for comment on Thursday. Clary also talked about testifying against Kelly, telling King that she was happy that he no longer had control over her. Everything that we were living in had become very normal, and I had to break out of that. And I realized that this is actually abnormal, Clary said. Kelly's attorney didn't immediately reply to an email and a phone call about the interview Thursday, according to NBC News. So there you go. I think it's pretty much everything we thought that was going on behind the scenes of that interview was in fact going on behind the scenes of that interview.
And really, that's kind of very, I mean, it's outrageous, but it's pretty typical for an abusive relationship. That's what they do. Here's what you're going to say. Here's how you're going to say it. I mean, that's just what abusers do.
Yeah.
And you know, of course he wanted to control it. He wants to control everything they say. And he did for a long time.
Very successfully. For a super long time. And
it's really hard to get up there and admit those sorts of things happened.
Yeah.
You know, and not just to admit it, but, you know, that takes some courage to get on that stand with him sitting right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because my guess is if you ever crossed him, it would not have been pleasant.
What I'm wondering about in all of this is if there's going to be another chapter to his crimes of people who did cross him and what happened to them. If there's any stories like that out there.
Somebody did.
I would think in over time that there'd be something that maybe some dots will be connected later and go, oh my God, I think R. Kelly was connected with this or that. You know, someone got killed. And I'm not saying, I'm just shooting out, you know, possibilities here. I'm not saying that he was or did or anything like that. But I'm wondering if there's something, you know, where you cross somebody like that, you know, they do the scare tactics, but Does it ever come to somebody said, fuck you and your scare tactics, and then there was an actual something that happened?
I would say yes.
I mean, people...
I mean, that's not that big of a jump. Because the shit that he did to people anyway, what the women testified to.
Yeah.
Under oath.
Now, I have zero evidence of anything with here, but there, I mean, I remember hearing rumblings a long time ago, and I don't think if there was more to this, I think there would, we'd know more about it. But there were rumblings a long time ago of, like, did R have something to do with Aaliyah's death?
I don't know.
I mean, the conspiracy theory there would be that she was going to say something, and, you know, but I don't think that there's any evidence to support anything like that other than just people going and saying, well, that's interesting. You know, Aaliyah's uncle finally says that karma caught up to R. Kelly, which is interesting because most of that family says absolutely nothing about the relationship or completely denies it. So I think this is, you know, somebody in that family that's finally speaking out and saying, yeah, it's kind of fucked up.
Just makes you wonder. It's like, why they never did say anything, you know, like,
yeah.
And I get it. You've been through like losing a child or a sibling or, yeah, you know, a loved one would be horrible. And she was so young, and maybe he did or didn't have anything to do with her death. But looking back on it now, you would have to say that wasn't right. The relationship wasn't right. We should have stepped in. Did they get money? Did he threaten them? I don't know.
My thought would be, as parents, you're had enough of R. Kelly. And if you don't respond or say anything about R. Kelly involving your daughter, there'll be less publicity about R. Kelly and your daughter. Now, there's going to be... Huh? There's going to be some no matter what. I mean, you're not going to get away from that. But she didn't end up being defined as the girl that R. Kelly molested or, you know, something like, you know, or, you know, statutorily raped or anything like that. I mean, she's more respected as an artist than, you know, as that sort of a recognition. So I would think maybe that's what they were trying to do, of just saying, you know, yeah, it's fucked up, and we know it happened. We believe it happened. We know it did. But the more we talk about it, the more it's going to take away from who she was than anything else.
Yeah, I get that.
So I could see that just kind of being the, shut the fuck up. Y'all know what you know. Like, me saying this doesn't make it any better. It only takes away from the talent that she was. So, I don't know. And I'm shocked by this. You just told me this right before we went on the air. And I said, oh, my God, I got to find the article. Why the fuck? I mean, we live in The Onion now. I swear to God, The Onion is our world. Because this, if you told me this was an Onion article, I'd be like, that's great. That's really funny. Could you imagine if he actually did that? Well, he actually fucking did this. Bill Cosby feels R. Kelly got railroaded in his sex trafficking trial that ended Monday with convictions in all 9 counts against him, according to the newly freed comedian's rep. Because Cos doesn't tweet. He makes statements through a rep. Like, I could see, like, drunk tweeting this or something, like, he got railroaded. But no, he went out of his way to make a statement on R. Kelly. Cosby believes the pervy singer was screwed and that he wasn't going to catch a break during the month-long trial, according to his spokesman, Andrew Wyatt. Wyatt shared Cosby's thoughts in a Tuesday night interview with The Post, where the rep said Kelly never stood a chance and rallied against the 90s R&B superstar's defense team. The deck was stacked against Robert, said Wyatt. His constitutional rights were grossly abused. I don't know anywhere but in this country, in the United States, that a documentary can bring criminal charges against someone. No one fought hard for him, and his attorneys didn't humanize him, Wyatt said. Why on earth could a documentary not bring against criminal charges if there's incriminating information that's revealed? It's a fucking documentary. It's meant to reveal shit, you idiot. God. He also said he didn't have the resources and means he should have asked for support from the court. He would have gotten better representation, added Wyatt. This is a guy who made the song I Believe I Can Fly when there were rumors about young girls. The song played at every wedding and every church. He was doing music with Lady Gaga. I don't know how Lady Gaga and church connects, but Kelly, 54, was convicted of sexually abusing women and children for decades on counts including racketeering and violations of the MAD Act, which prohibits the transportation of people across state lines for immoral purposes. So his argument is essentially his lawyers sucked, and because he's saying, I believe I can fly, and we played it at weddings, and he did shit with Lady Gaga, we should just look the other way. He sounds like a great representative. I mean, good job,
Bill. Once again, the jurors found him guilty. So the prosecutors obviously did a good job.
Yeah.
And totally dismissed everything the women said. Obviously, this guy's like, and Bill Cosby, because he's Bill Cosby's spokesperson, is thinking, they're all just lying, because that's what women do.
And here's the thing. I could see like that being R. Kelly spokesman saying crazy shit like that. But it's Bill. Number one, Bill Cosby still has shitloads of money. Bill's not broke. Bill is, you know, he's still like, he's Scrooge fucking McDuck. He could have that big tower of coins and jump in it if he wanted to. He does have, and maybe he has that in another room, but he could certainly afford, I think, a representative that may say, maybe we shouldn't say that. Fuck, get one of Trump's old people or something. Somebody that may be like, bad idea. Jesus. Why say anything, Bill? Nobody was talking about you. This was a moment. There was attention on a different predator. And you had to go and say, hey, over here, guys. Hey, I got Jell-O pudding pops. He was railroaded.
Same guy who also thought it'd be a good idea to, when he got out of prison, to go on a comedy tour. Like, because there's some funny shit I'm going to talk about.
I would think there'd be somebody, some minder that would be there saying, don't say that. But I'm guessing, you know, Bill would fire anybody that would tell him no, I'm assuming. So,
it's the same problem. It's like, you got these people around who are making money off you. And so Bill Cosby's like, R. Kelly got railroaded. Go out and say that. And that was a really bad Bill Cosby impersonation. But, you know, and these people are like, okay.
We should give Bill Cosby.
I would be like, hell no. Find some other idiot to go out and say that shit for you, because it ain't going to be me.
Just keep digging that hole, Bill. Just keep digging that hole. We should give him a Twitter account. I mean, that should be the next thing. Give Bill Cosby a Twitter account. I know he can't see, but he can use the text-to-voice option, which may be even more entertaining, especially when it picks up the wrong words. I mean, his real words will, in fact, just be hilariously bad to begin with, but when Siri picks up the wrong word, that can be really fucking hilarious. And just let him, like, all day, Bill, crack your jokes. Just press this button and speak out loud, and it'll go to Twitter. He will dig his hole so deep. It'll just be like, oh my God, no one has ever gone out in this much of a blaze of stupidity and shame than Bill Cosby. I mean, it could go downhill very fast.
But why didn't Bill Cosby, like,
just shut the fuck up?
There. Because it's like, okay, he has to know, with all these women who came out and said very similar things, like, he had to have been drugging some women and having sex with them. So even say 10 of those women, say half the women were lying. I don't believe it, but so why would, if you got out of jail and you got that second chance, why wouldn't you just say, you know what? I'm old. I'm tired. I like to garden. Exactly. And I'm just going to stay home.
I'm gonna watch me some MacGyver tonight.
Right? I'm going to enjoy just being at home. I can have friends over for dinner. I can, like, do the shit I couldn't do in jail. But instead, he's like, it's like, shut up.
I just think he's so disconnected from reality. I think he's, you know, he surrounds himself with people who think he's, you know, the fucking, you know, cat's ass. And so that's all he sees. I mean, he's not like going out to the grocery store by himself and like getting shit thrown at him. He's not experiencing the world of what reality is. So I think that it's just, he's so insulated and so probably just kind of, you know, not with it at the age that he's at, that he still believes he's who he was years ago and that the world will reaccept him.
On his comedy tour.
Exactly. I don't think he has any clue just how dark it's gotten for him. And that might just be a mode of survival. Because, I mean, honestly, if he were to really take a good look at just how shameful his life became from just being this pillar of society that generations looked up to, all the honorary degrees and statues and all of this and that, and all of it gone. But
he's also the same guy while all of that was going on, was drugging and raping women.
Exactly. So but he knew no one knew about it.
He's been leading a double life his whole life.
He was. So, he was, but he thought that was forever. He thought this is the world. I can get away with it forever. I don't think he can compute just how not acceptable and how deplorable the world looks at him now and how low depths he's gone to. I think he knows he slipped and he slipped down, but I think he's like, I just slipped a bit. I don't think he realizes it's like, no, you're pretty much down there at like a bag of urine that was like part of the set from Breaking Bad. Like that's kind of where people are looking at you. Like that is a bag of urine, Bill, that you're next to. Like you're not up there with like, you know, like,
who's I love Kathy how you made Griffin. Him like a bag of urine from the set of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, yeah. Like you're not like just disliked like Kathy Griffin. You're like you're with that bag of urine, like you're out of the people category of like things that people find disgust. Like you've fallen below that. So
poor Kathy, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah. I agree. I like Kathy.
I think she's brilliant.
Yeah. I have no problem with Kathy Griffin.
She went too far with a joke or a statement.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, you know, how she kind of fell from grace a bit. And and that was a bit of a fall. But I'm thinking he thinks he's like that kind of a fall. I don't think he thinks it's like you're with the fucking bag of urine on the ground. But again, could you? I mean, can a human being do? I mean, I don't think we can process something like that. Everyone on the outside can and make that sort of an observation. But if you're the human that's at the center of that observation, I don't know how you would do that without just self-destructing completely.
Well, I think that most of us kind of deal with life's ups and downs anyway. We're not ever put on a pedestal. Yeah. We're kind of regular people who deal with regular problems and our lives fall apart at different points throughout our lives. And then you got a Bill Cosby who, as you know, it's the same problem as R. Kelly, same problem as Michael Jackson. You have a ton of people around you who are never going to question you. Mm-hmm. Everybody's a hanger-on. You've got tons of money. You've got whatever you want.
Yeah.
And people love you.
Yeah.
And therefore, you get to do whatever you want to do.
And your mind becomes so warped and you get conditioned to that. And yeah, so I think
Michael Jackson, I think, is a little different case. But I do think R. Kelly had some issues growing up.
He did.
And, you know, Michael Jackson never got to, you know, well, he became insanely famous at a very young age.
I mean,
didn't have a normal life.
A lot of these people you can explain by looking at, you know, the situations and, you know, the recipe for what formed them. It doesn't make anything right, but you can go, well, you know, that does make sense. People who were subjected to this or that do tend to act out this way or statistically have a higher chance of acting out that way, you know, in adulthood. Not everybody, but statistics, you know, it's just you're playing math. It's not rocket science here. It's not opinion. It's just facts and statistics. So, but at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, but, you know, get help. Don't keep doing it. And when you're being called out on it, you know, 20 years ago, maybe stop, maybe, you know, so.
But they don't, because I just don't think they think the rules apply.
And that's part of it. Yeah. I mean, you're dealing with narcissistic, borderline psychopathic behavior. So
that sounded really smart, by the way you said that.
Well, it is. It is what you're getting.
You're right.
You're getting someone who can't process reality on reality's terms. And this is what you get. And so they operate thinking everything is hunky dory. And even when they're found guilty, it's like, ah, whatever, you know? So anyway, that wraps up our series on R. Kelly, at least for now. I'm sure we'll hear more in the coming months, weeks, years. This shit ain't gonna end. There's gonna be more. There's gonna be a lot more. All right. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become a Darksider. Go to patreon.com and search Darksideof, or go to our website, DarksidePod. And $5 a month gets you access to our advanced episodes of the show, our exclusive final chapters, and a whole bunch more. All of it's commercial free, too. So if you like the show, you like binging it, go there and you can binge it all. No ads whatsoever. Patreon.com. Search Dark Side Of. Until next time, for the Dark Side Of and Carol, I'm Tony Brisky. Thanks for listening.
This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment.
The audio transmitter also allows for JBL Spatial 360 sound that takes any audio and turns it into a 360 immersive experience.
What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
Say hello to making everyday routines a bit more magical. Say hello to sunshine and goodbye to boring. Say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that are just friendly. Products that add a little everyday yay to your day. Like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. Doesn't exist, you say? It's just a myth, a legend, a unicorn. Yeah, it's a unicorn. Hello's Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, and it makes brushing fun. Also prevents cavities, strengthens enamel, helps brush away plaque, and all that important toothpastey stuff. And they didn't forget adults. That's where Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste comes in. It takes care of plaque, tartar, and bad breath for a friendly mouth. And it's made with farm-grown peppermint for a friendly flavor. Speaking of friendly, Hello is vegan, cruelty-free, and not tested on animals. So take your day to the next level, a happier one. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
There's a time and a place for a filet of fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.